He has a way of not telling everybody when he's going to be gone. And I believe they're at Marshall Lake this weekend, just really enjoying themselves and the quiet and the peace. I don't know if you saw the little video that they put on. Oh, looking forward to camp out. It was a great time last year. And don't know what fire season is, and maybe we'll have campfire or not, but one way or the other, our fellowship is always good. It's always fun. It's always rich. And it draws us closer together as a family when you can be doing stuff in other events and times together. Today I'm going to be talking about a subject which I had no idea that would be as extensive as it is, and I am not an extensive person. But I love to study, and I love to dig in the Word, and I love to meditate, which, you know, is thinking deeply on God's Word. Psalms especially talks about meditating on God's Word, and don't get freaked out because, of course, the enemy likes to use the word meditation these days to mean something completely different. But it was God's Word first. And you know what? He's given us a brain and an ability to think deeply on Him and His words, and He always rewards us, right? That's the truth, because His words are alive. They're not just ink on a page. They are alive. They are the words of God. And if they were true in the beginning, they're true now. So we're going to talk about light. And I will live the rest of my life reading and going over verses about who God is and light, the light of the world, and never exhaust that. I got a little overwhelmed. And to be honest, it was hard to eventually put everything together in what I wanted to share in a short amount of time, because it's so vast. Vast, our light is eternal. Do you know that? It is amazing. So what I did here, just to give you guys a little help and really hope that you'll kind of look and dig into and meditate, think deeply on God's words concerning Him, the spiritual light. We have the sun and the moon we'll talk about. That's the natural and the physical light that He created. But we want to, I have 20 copies only. I know everybody probably doesn't want one. But these are only a few scriptures, front and back, on light. So you don't have to take one. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But let me tell you, there's a lot to look at here. And I promise you, if you meditate on God's word, He will open your eyes. And the thing that sparked me recently on this subject was, maybe some of you heard where the scientists, or our science now because of our technology and our advancement, have learned when that moment of life begins. It's sad news for those who, the abortionists, right? Because under a microscope, they even show, did you see the video or the pictures? They showed the moment of light. There's this cell. And right at that moment of life, you know what there was? A spark of light. I love it. Isn't that in keeping with who God is? And when He gave us and put into us the breath of life, first came that spark of creation. And in the beginning of everything, that Genesis 1:1, what did God do first? He spoke, "Let there be light." Because that is an important thing for us physically and spiritually, and we're going to talk about that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but okay, like I said, I'm not every one of you. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on this, because I'm telling you, the thoughts are so vast, and there's so much that I'm not going to be covering just because I don't have the time. But I want to give you just a glimpse of how from Genesis to Revelation, we see God as light, and how He sees us as children of light. So I hope and I pray and I prayed and prayed that God would take my faltering speech, which sometimes I think is not, you think quicker than you can speak, and sometimes the words don't come together. That's me. But you know what? I don't say no. I say, yes, God, if this is your plan and your will, please speak to your people. Speak something today from your word that will stick in your heart, that will help you in this life and in your relationship with the Lord. Okay. We're just going to go through quickly. And one reason I'm giving you those scriptures is because there's a lot of scripture that I'm not going to read. I'm going to refer to. They're in those verses that I gave you, and some of them that I will be reading. Some of them are just we've known since Sunday school. But to me, it was revelation to see how they were all tied together from Genesis to Revelation. So, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I love that. And God said, "Let there be light." And you know what? There was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Something that I just want to, it's not a disclaimer. I believe this is the truth, but I think sometimes we pass over that idea in Genesis 1:1. Who was there? God, of course. Yeah, God. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. The three in one. God always was. Jesus, the Word, always was. The Holy Spirit always was. He created everything. He created us. Genesis 1 says at creation that the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Another word for it is brooding, like a mother hen sitting on her eggs, warming, protecting, covering, and bringing forth to full creation. What a beautiful picture. A lot of people, not a lot of people, but there are some people who don't believe in the triune, the Trinity, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Genesis 1:1, they were there. God the Father, Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit and Jesus existed in eternity past in perfect union, love, and purpose. The Godhead, the Trinity, the three in one, have always been in loving fellowship and always will be. They created us not because they were lonely or lacked in relationship, but God, through Jesus by his Spirit, enabled us to have relationship with him, thus our creation. He chose to be friends with us because of his gracious love. He was not compelled out of need. It's kind of neat to know you're wanted, that you're loved, that you're adopted, and have a family. In the first chapter of John, let's go over there real quick. I love how John is different than Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and even though they're called the Gospels, oh please, I'm not a theologian, it makes me nervous to be among those who are, but I will tell you some of the things that have really blessed me. John refers to Genesis and setting to set his gospel in. He starts with Genesis. But I love the way he says it, which confirms the Trinity at creation and Jesus as the creator. In the beginning, this is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, not it, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. You see the progression? Down to us. It's pretty awesome to think that the light of God, the spark of life and the breath of God Almighty is in you and in me. Why do we sometimes, we don't belittle, but I think sometimes we might forget who we are in Christ. Okay, the light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or overtaken it or comprehended it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man and woman was coming into the world. At creation, what God created is good. It's perfect. I still think his creation was perfect. But along the way, Satan, who used to be an angel of light, tried to put himself above God, and in his pride, he was cast down to hell. And you know what the funny thing about that is? What he wanted to take for himself and be above God, in a glimpse and in a way, God has put into us, his creation, the ability to know him and be in his image in the right order and in the right way. So you know what I say? In your face, Satan. That's kind of what I was thinking when I was going through this. And you know what Satan does? He comes as what? To us. As an angel of light, doesn't he? To lie and to deceive and to make us think that we are not created in the image of God. We are not given that spark of life and light from God. And from there, darkness, we can see in our world today, there's a lot of darkness, isn't there? There are a lot of hearts that are darkened that need to know how God created them. That by recognizing who they are and what God has made in them, they are children of light and won't be walking in darkness. And everything that comes with being a children of light is your inheritance, your favor, your gracious love outpoured by God in a daily walk. Now, my mom used to say this, and she said this all the years I was growing up, and I've thought of it so many times since she passed away. She goes, you know, sis, in Psalm 23, where it says, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? Because it's a shadow. It's not death. What does it take to make a shadow? Light. We only walk in the shadow when we recognize that we are children of light and of life from God. Okay. Light dispels darkness. We know that. The slightest bit of light, the tiniest bit of light, can change darkness. Years ago, Bill and I were living in Kansas. Was going to university, and we visited mom and dad. We're living in Montana, and we went to visit them, and on the way, not on the way, but kind of on the side, we went to the Lewis and Clark Caverns. It was actually the second time I'd been there, but I wanted my kids and Bill to see. I know we have Montana people here. Been to the Lewis and Clark Caverns? Do you remember that room that the guide will take you into? You go through, you know, it's dimly lit, electrical lights, dimly lit, not natural. But even more than, and at one point he takes you into this chamber. There are, I don't even know how if I can get this right, stalactites and stalagmites and all that kind of stuff doing their thing. It's just gorgeous. It's just beautiful. And you see, walk into this room, and then he says, now I'm going to turn the light out, and you will experience total darkness. That's pretty amazing. We stood there when he turned that light off and could not see. Hand in front of our face, couldn't see shapes or any movement, complete darkness. Did they do that for you when you went? You didn't want to move. If you moved, you don't know where you're going to end up. You didn't know if you were going to step on somebody or fall off onto something or whatever. You just kind of froze. And the funny thing is, and he says, okay, now I'm going to show you something. This is, I don't know who ever thought of this or how this ever began or happened, but he pulled a peppermint lifesaver out of his pocket and he bit it. And you know what we saw? A spark of light. And you know what? That's all the light it took to bring illumination. How amazing is that? That darkness never will overcome or overtake the light. Ever. It's not going to happen. It's not part of God's being. It's not who he is. But a little bit of light can overtake darkness. So I thought that was pretty cool. Since then, I don't think you could drag me into a cave. Something happens when you get older. I don't want to be on the top of a dam looking down, you know, with my child on my shoulders like Bill did. You know, that kind of thing. But you know what? Thank God we're children of the light. Thank God we don't have to live in darkness. Thank God when that day comes and we're with Him, there will need not be the sun and the moon or the stars for light, because Jesus is the light, right? Amen. And why is it uncomfortable to be in darkness? Why? Because we were made to live in the light. We're made to live in the darkness. And how much light do you need? Well, physical light, you don't need much to dispel darkness. And you know what? It's in the same in the spiritual world, but guess what? God doesn't just give us a tiny bit of life and light. He gives us life and light abundantly, more than we need. That's His character and that's His nature. First John chapter 1. Let's move on a little further. I think John got it. I believe John and 1 John were written by the same guy. There's some people who question that, but I think the consensus, Bob, is that right? That it was John? Mm-hmm. The same John that wrote. So John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands and touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. Chapter 3. I'm sorry. Kind of wrote that wrong. Let me get that. It must be. I wrote that wrong. Okay. Must be 5. Anyway. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. That's kind of a hard saying. Sometimes in this life, we feel like we are in darkness, like we're shrouded or clouded. Life gets difficult. There may be something we can't reckon with. Maybe there's a person we can't reckon with. And it affects us. It affects us. I'm not saying you're filled with darkness then, but the darkness pushes on you and presses on you from every side, because the enemy wants to destroy the light. And the only way that he can really hurt God is to hurt those he created to experience the light that he can't have. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Okay, God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. He imparts light to us by His Holy Spirit. That light is meant to shine in us and through us into the darkness today. Light shows the right path. Your word is a light into my path, a lamp, light into my path, and a light, you know, my feet and light into my path. Yeah. Light shows the right path. Light shows us who the Father is. What does He look like? What are we to be? Who are we to be like? Light brings conviction of sin. not for punishment, but so that we can be brought into the light, so that we can be forgiven and given life. That's the purpose. If you're living in darkness, why? Come to the light. He will pour out his life in you. He will shine his light on your daily walk and your daily path. Life won't be perfect, but you know what? I would much rather be living in the shadow with his light than in the darkness without it. Light in and through us shows the world who the Father is, from creation to redemption to recreation in us. And his purpose was not to reform us, but to recreate, to create again in us life. Isn't that cool? He doesn't put a Band-Aid on us and go your merry way and hope you don't bleed through it. He recreates us. He transforms us, makes us new. How awesome is that? Satan cannot win. He never will. This is who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Do we believe that? Do you know that? Do you know that you're somebody new? You have the light and the life of Almighty God in you, as part of you, ingrained from the very beginning spark of life and breath of life. That's mind-blowing. If you meditate, if you think long and hard, it just makes your mind, whatever, crazy. No. It's just, you just can't comprehend it. It's just amazing. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day, sons and daughters of the light and the day. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Jesus died on the cross, carried our sins, so that we would not have to die for them. You know that? Come to him, and he gives you life and light. There just can't be more simple than that. 1 Peter 2:9. I love this. And by adoption into his family, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim. Why are we that? Why do we have this light in us now? Yes, we enjoy. We are free. We experience all God's blessings and greatness that he gives us through that. But why? So that we may proclaim the excellence or the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a reason. There's a purpose. John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. We are children of the light with the capacity to love, to choose love, and to give love. We are very well fed, aren't we, as believers? We hear good teaching every week. We worship and are so cared for. We come on Sundays filling ourselves with light and truth as together as a body of believers. And the other 6 days sometimes, God is a fleeting thought. I've been guilty of that. I forget the light that is in me. How much light do we need to shine in the dark world? It's interesting, and I told you that the idea that what the enemy wants to do, to kill and steal and destroy. But you know what? God has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. We read all of the Christian how-to books, go to conferences, attend as many Bible studies as we can, listens to sermons and teaching, and somehow we think that that's living the Christian life. Well, yes, that's part of it. We have the light of life living in us. It's who we are. But it's also who we need to be to others. if we could see in the spiritual realm what it's like for people to be in darkness and to stand next to them and physically see the light shining in their darkness, we would grasp better his commission to tell people about him, to preach the gospel, and to share. It's okay to go to conferences and Bible studies and read books. I mean, it enriches us. It's okay and it's good. But you know what? Think about this. The early church didn't do all those things. They met together, they prayed together, and they shared what they had experienced and witnessed of Christ personally. Bada bing. That's it. Sometimes I think it's easier to go to a conference again and hear how we are to share the light than to go out and just see what God can do through us. I'm guilty of this. I wouldn't even be saying this if it weren't spoken to me as well. Have you ever been asked, and I'm guilty, I'm going to ask this right off the bat and tell you because I'm guilty. Have you ever been asked by the pastor to do something? What's our first reply often? Oh, I'll pray about it. Right? Oh, yeah, we're laughing because we know about that. Well, how much praying about it is needed before we obey what Scripture has already told us to do? I'll pray about it often means, well, I really don't want to, but I don't want to tell you that I don't want to. We should pray about many things. But he's given us a brain, a free will, his life-given words, so we can say yes when it is within our power to do so. That's light-giving. Maybe we are so well fed, overweight, not only because of our abundance of food, but because we don't move. Isn't it true? Oh man, I'd rather go on a diet and take foods out of my than exercise. Oh man, I don't like to sweat. And you know what? Susan doesn't like to go to the gym, but she finds herself going time after time after time. Way to go. I tell her she's my inspiration. One of these days I will do that. This was a funny story to me. When Steve was probably 8 or 9 years old, he was playing Spokane Valley baseball. And I would take him to practice and I'd sit and watch. And one time, well, you guys know Steve's character, right? He's just kind of an easy kind of guy, right? Love baseball, love the uniform, love the cup. He loved the mitt. He loved all this stuff. Oh, yeah. All the boys did at that age. Yeah. So here he is. He's up to bat. I do not remember how he got on base, but he didn't run very fast, ever. Ever. But we encouraged him. One of the coolest things that ever happened to him is somehow their team made it to a playoff. And the very last game of the playoff, Steve's sitting in the outfield, standing in the outfield, and a ball comes to him. Oh my goodness, I don't know how many or if any he caught that season. He caught the dang ball. Not only that, the photographer took a picture, and it was in the Spokane paper. Oh my gosh, that did wonders for him. But okay, so he gets on first base. One thing after the other, he goes to second, he's on third, and another guy gets up, hits a long ball, and takes off running. Around first, around second, and there's Steve still standing on third. Steve's coach is doing the third base coaching, you know. So here's Steve on third, and Steve's going, you're like, should I run? You know, and his coach is going, run, Steve, run, Steve, run, run. So finally, this is practice, thank God. His coach steps up right in front of Steve, and Steve, it was like the cartoon. He's up in the air, and his feet are going like this, you know. And He makes it to home. I'll never forget that. That was hysterical. I think it applies to our lesson today. I see the same picture in my mind, wondering if Jesus is standing behind us, saying, run, run, run. He's already provided what's needed to score, right? Holy Spirit brings people to himself, not us. Just run. Scripture says it's God who equips the church for good works. 1 Peter 4 says each one should use what gift he has to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace with the strength that God provides. If this is true, think about it. God equips the church. You know what that means? Every one of you in here have talents and gifts. What's needed at Jacob's Well is present in somebody here, in all of us here, right? We need to step up and see who the Lord is in us and what he will do through us. When we do, we cannot fail. Pastor Eric is not here today. When he comes back, we've got some things coming up, right? Like our block party. You can only imagine everything that needs to be done. It is a lot of busy work. But can you imagine how blessed it would be if 20 of us walked up at some point and said, Pastor Eric, what can I do? What can I do to help? Maybe it's nothing for that, but maybe it's something else that's pressing on his mind that he's got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this to get to this. Wouldn't he just be blown over if we all were willing to shine our lights in what God has already given us? We are supernaturally charged, if you will, and spiritually filled with light of Christ in his fullness and beauty. That's who we are. You got to believe it, live it, walk in it. This dark world is dependent upon his light shining through us. Jesus said to his disciples, yes, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send the Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will live in you. He won't just be with you like in the past. He will live in you. Why do we not grasp this? The blow to the kingdom of Satan would be incredible if each one of us grasped this on a daily basis, or even once in a while. This dark world is dependent on this light shining through us. It's not for us alone. The Apostle Paul said, if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it's hidden to who? The lost. What is our commission? We know that. We know. So let me, Mark 16:15, we know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, right? We know that. But here's some other words. Isaiah 58, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will be like midday. That's awesome. And I've already read, you are a chosen race, a priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession. Why? So that we can proclaim who he is. Acts 26:18. When Jesus appeared to Saul on the road, and later, of course, his name, Paul, one of the greatest apostles ever. Guess what? How did God get his attention? What was it? Light. A blinding light. And it blinded his eyes, but it gave him light into the commission and the call of God that would bring light to so many thousands on down to us in this world. Acts 26:18 says it is to open the eyes of the Gentiles. You know what? Who's a Gentile? We are, right? But we are adopted into God's family through Jesus, that they may turn from their darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me, in Jesus the Christ. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not just to get the bathroom cleaned. It's not just to make coffee, which is a blessing to us here. We love it, don't we? But you know what? Glory is being given to the Father through that. Philippians 2:15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. I didn't do a very good job in comparing light to darkness. I don't think I'm qualified to really understand the depths of that. But Jesus did talk about those in darkness and what that meant. And here's a hard saying. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. What a stinking lie of the devil. Is there one person in here that has not done an evil deed? Are you here and have come to Jesus and asked him to forgive you? You are his child. Could it be harder than that? It's like going to the doctor. No, like saying, I will go to the emergency room when I stop bleeding. Right? Ephesians 5:14. For this reason, Scripture says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. How could we not want that? John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. John 12:35-36. Jesus said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. And of course, Jesus did not leave his friends helpless. He sent the Spirit of light, right? Life is difficult. The world can be a frightening place. Living in darkness is painful. Why would anyone choose to live in darkness when they can have the light of life and the light of Christ in them? Be reconciled to God. Be recreated. He created you to know him and to have a relationship with him. You will not be right with the Creator or in line with your creation until you do. Jesus gave his life for you to be in right relationship with the Father. Wow. If you've ever had an estranged child, oh, the pain. But when you talk and when you are able to work through some things and the relationship is restored, it's incredible. But can you imagine God's, how he looks at this with us? Be recreated with the spark of light and the life of Jesus. Step out of darkness into his light and be free. And we're going to go home early today, but I do have one more thing that I would like to read to you. I remembered when I was pulling this together that, and I have it dated, back in 2004, I was reading about this same topic, and I was really overcome. And sometimes you just, you know, you can write in your notebook and go back, and it's a blessing to read it. But I decided, it was right before Christmas, I decided I'm going to put my thoughts into a poem. I'm not a poet, but this, I believe, was from my heart and the truth about God, called Children of Light. And the people were saying. We wish to see the babe, foretold and writ of old, followed the light these many days to worship, bear gifts and gold. God's light through darkness blazed. We saw his glory, like father, like son. He became flesh and moved among us. Yet we cried, not him, he's not the one. We want Messiah, the Redeemer, they said. He'll show his might. He'll be raised as our king, against our enemies fight. I will be lifted up, you said, Jesus said, for it's the reason that I came, to be glorified by my Father, for I glory in his name. You desired to draw him into yourself, a glimpse into your heart, burden born as you were raised, light through pain you did impart. They stood before you but couldn't see, till the day you were glorified, when the Spirit of light had fully come. They saw you as king through different eyes. In praise you're lifted up, O Lord. Draw to yourself the souls of men. Drive out the prince of this dark world and give us your light again. We want to see Jesus. Oh, give us sight to see as you see. Make us children of light. Thank you. So we have people here that would pray with you if you want to pray. It's hard for me sometimes to leave when there's not that opportunity, because I pray and I believe God has spoken to our hearts in one way or another, the way he knows you and what you need. We'll pray with you, not because we know what it's all about or have solved anything, but because we know where the light comes from. We know who has the answers, and we will be happy to pray with you. So if anybody wants to pray, come on up, and when we see people coming, then we'll have others who want to pray. It doesn't have to be an elder or a deacon. It can be anybody, move on your heart. So I'm going to give a closing prayer and then let you guys go or come to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and how you've chosen to create us as your children, just because you wanted to. And you still want to have that relationship with us. Don't know why, but you do. Lord, make us children of light. Help us to remember who we are in you. Help us to shine that light for others to see, whether it be in the smallest gesture or in the greatest deed. Make us children of light, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.